We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat this morning. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you doing this morning,
sir? I'm good. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored with his favor.
There you go.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company that has Christian values. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're tuned in this morning. I think I covered it all. Would you pray to start us out, sir?
Sure can. Let's pray. Gracious Almighty God, today as we talk about renewal and we talk about what it means to start the year and be part of your kingdom, we ask, God, that your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's the renewal we're looking for. And we start, God, by looking at our own lives. And so today, God, bless us and show us your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. Renewed Hope.
Yeah, Renewed Hope. So I love January. We were talking right before the program started about that. I can't believe it's already, you know, the 23rd of January. I mean, we're just a week from this month being over and into February. It seems like it's gone pretty fast, right? But one of the things that I love about January, I am a big football fan, and so you get the bowl games on the first, you get the college national championship, you get the playoff NFL games. I mean, I love it. It's my time of year, right? Big time football. Well, on New Year's Day, I got up that morning, and I was actually at my sister's house, and I don't know if you know this. You've known me now for a couple of years, and the people who really know me, who might be watching this, know I sometimes will just say whatever pops in my head without a filter.
No.
And I got up that morning, and we were sitting around. I was having my coffee, and I went, well, it's 1st of January. It's time for weight loss commercials and tax prep. And we all had a good laugh. However, true story. We were watching the very first college bowl game that morning on ESPN. And first time out, what two commercials showed up? Weight Watchers and tax prep. And I went, there you go. You see, one of the things that our culture has taught us, and we have, whether we admit to it or not, we have learned it well, is there are times we are conditioned to think about things, to remember certain things. If I say to you November, most of us think Thanksgiving. If I say December, you're thinking Christmas. If I say January, you're thinking weight loss. No, but we have this very incredible sense of what we're supposed to think about when. February, depending on if you're a football fan, it could be the Super Bowl or Valentine's Day, and on down the line, right? Well, part of what happens every single year is many of us make resolutions. We make statements about who we want to become, who we want to be, where we see our life before the next year, right? And the truth is, I actually do this every year. I like to look at different statistics on how people do on resolutions. And the average is 6 days. So if it's the 23rd when we record this, that means that almost for 2 weeks we've already given up on our resolutions. Now, we just started a year, but we've already given up. So if you made the resolution that you were going to not eat any fried food, you probably have by now. I'm not going to use any foul language. You probably have said a few ungodly words. I'm not going to smoke, drink, blah, blah, blah. You name the whatever vice. We probably already broken it. And it becomes a little bit discouraging, I think, because the commercials on TV don't stop. You know, we are bombarded. One of the things I tell people is, if you don't think advertisers are smart, think about the money that they charge per commercial. I mean, what is it? The Super Bowl is going to be like $7 or $8 million for 30 seconds this year? Because they are fighting for your attention, fighting for your focus, attempting to make you and I understand that if you want to be better, here's the right car you should drive, the right neighborhood you should live in, here's how to get your body in the right order, and even to tell you what you shouldn't do. Don't be like, you know, don't be like them. Even down to the point of, here's the candidate you should vote for. There's this sense of control, especially at the first of the year, that I think many of us think we want to wrestle back. And yet 6 days in to the new year, 2 weeks ago for us, we're already back to the old stuff. Didn't even last, most of us don't last a week. Now, the way the calendar fell this year, I actually opened that on my January 7th sermon, because it was the way the calendar fell. January 7th was a Sunday. And so I said, most of you gave up on your resolutions yesterday. And there were people kind of look at me. You could just see the whole congregation go, how did you know? Well, I did it. I mean, it's just human nature to do this. And so one of the things that I have thought about is, those kinds of things are fleeting. Those kinds of things are fad-ish. You know, the fad diets, the fad workout programs. I mean, I was telling someone the other day, when I lived in another community, I actually joined a gym in January, because that's what you do in January, right? Because their moniker, and I don't have to say which one it is. If you watch commercials, you know, but we're in the no judgment zone. Yeah, right, by the way. Go to any gym. I don't care if it's no judgment or not. Their eyes, look at that guy. Look at that girl. You know. But those things are fleeting. They're not sustainable. One of the things that I struggle with is that we spend an inordinate amount of time on things that are not sustainable. We spend so much of our lives in things that are here today, gone tomorrow. And we don't think about things that will last even a week, much less a month, a year, 10 years, your lifetime, eternity, right? We spend so much of our time in the here and the moment and the now. I'll give up something so that right now I can have, you know, instant gratification or instant result. But the alternative to this, and I'm going to be honest, it's not an easy alternative, but it is an alternative, is renewal. I titled today Renewed Hope because sometimes I think we get into the mindset that renewal is not possible. Because that takes commitment. That takes long term. It takes effort. You know, one of the things we did a couple of years ago at the church was I had really wanted to read through the Bible in a year. And so my office assistant and I, she spent hours getting these little folders made that literally had it every single day for 365 days. So you could check off in your little folder, right? And we gave these out. And I mean, I will tell you, for a good 2 to 3 weeks, you saw them sticking out of people's Bibles, and those that use the Bible on their phone had it in their pocket. I mean, they were showing me, hey, look, I've got, you know. And then February hit, and I saw some, and by March, by the way, in March we got to Leviticus. Now, if you've read the Bible straight through, you know, when you get to Leviticus, it does slow down a little. And we lost a few more. And by the end of the year, I think maybe I had one or two people tell me they made it. Now, they expected me to be disappointed. I struggled with it. And this is what I do, right? I love to read the scripture, but that idea of systematic every day, that's hard to do. It takes effort. When we tell people, you know, we sort of flippantly, as pastors say, read your scriptures, pray daily, you know, those all sound great in theory. I mean, they really do. And I don't know that, it's not, please don't misunderstand me, it's not that I don't believe them or practice them. But yes, I will tell you, even as a pastor, there have been days I have forgotten to pray, to read my scriptures. I know, right? It's just, earth shattering. You might kick me off the program. I'm done. You can mark my name off that calendar over there. He's done, right? Now, I'm going to keep it real with you. It's just the truth. Sometimes life happens, and I'm the first one to tell you that. Which is why renewal is much more about the long term, the marathon instead of the sprint. And if we would look at our lives more like a marathon, I think that might actually help us be more faithful, be more loving, and actually be more like Christ, which is, quite frankly, Paul's admonition to the churches, is in all you do, be more like Christ. That all sounds great in theory. How do you do that? What do you do to affect renewal? It takes commitment. This is a word I've heard a lot of people. I sit in a lot of meetings. More meetings than I want to count sometimes. And one of the thoughts that comes around pretty consistently is, well, you know, people just aren't as committed since the pandemic. What I want to remind them of is we were struggling with things like volunteerism and decline in the church, in most churches, long before the pandemic, long before 2020. 2020 just exacerbated it, don't get me wrong. Pandemic was difficult on all of us for numbers of reasons. But the truth is, we had already experienced a decline in commitment. One of the things, a study that I read not too long ago, I try to follow these trends, but this study talked about that in mainline churches in America since the pandemic, this was done in late 22, early 23, that let's say over the course of 3 months, 12 weeks, a person who was a truly regular attender came 8 to 12 times before the pandemic. The next level we would say is 4 to 6 times in that 12-week period. Then you'd have your 2 to 3, and then you'd have your person who come maybe once a quarter. Okay? That was pretty average around the board. And you're probably in your mind thinking, oh, I think of that. Yeah, I know where I am in that, you know. Because all those people, by the way, every one of those people considers the church that they attend their church. Okay? Even the one maybe comes once every quarter. But since the pandemic, the eight to every weeker is now 6 to 8. The 4 to 6ers are now 3 to 5. And on down the line. You see, It's not that they're not coming, but they're not coming as frequently. That's why attendance has been down. I mean, if you look at any national poll, attendance at church is significantly down. And it's not for lack of people, it's lack of commitment. Renewal has to take place. We need a recharge. We need a recommitment. And that goes for clergy and lay people and the unchurched and everything else in our society. We are so caught up in get rich quick, you know, lose X number of pounds in 10 days. We are so convinced that these short-term gains are the way to go. But what we've lost is this long-term understanding of faithfulness and commitment. So when I think about renewal, one thing that we've been talking about at our church and some other churches here in Western Oklahoma is the idea of renewing your mind, your body, and your soul. Can you renew those three pieces? And what is it going to take to renew those pieces? Well, thinking about the mind, I mentioned a few minutes ago how advertisers spend buku amounts of dollars to get control of your mind. And here's the worst part. They wouldn't do it if they weren't successful. I made a joke about this the other day. Since I had my weight loss surgery back in October, I definitely don't eat what I ate before. But I have been known to literally get off the couch and go to Taco Bell because a Taco Bell commercial came on. Oh, double-decker tacos, calling my name. Or I'm thinking about buying a car. You know what? I saw that commercial for that car. I have gone to a dealership to look at a car simply based on a commercial. Now, I'm aware of this is happening. I'm a fairly smart guy when it comes to this kind of stuff. I like marketing. I know what they're doing. And I bought it anyway. That's right. That's right. Set the hook. Roll that in. You know. And the reality is, these are the kinds of things that we have to think about. What's going into our mind? The mind is a beautiful, beautiful thing. The brain is an incredible muscle. It has the ability to see beauty where others would never see that. The brain has the ability to compute things at a rate that we can't really truly even today fathom. The brain controls so much of the functions, the autonomic functions of our bodies, keeping us regulated. You know, when we're hot, we sweat. When we're cold, we shiver. I mean, how many of us really think about breathing? I mean, I want you to think about that. When was the last time you actually thought about breathing? And yet, if you stop doing it, that's not a good thing for you, by the way. But your brain controls all that in the background. Okay, your mind is a fabulous thing. Your mind can also get its mind around some not so great things. Your mind can start to believe some of the lies that are said. Your mind can actually not only believe some of the lies that are said, but actually allow you the rationale to start telling those same lies. If your mind can get its mind around it, you can rationalize, justify just about anything. And I think in a lot of ways that's what's happened to us, is we have justified and rationalized so far that it's made faithfulness more difficult. It has made seeing the things of God more difficult. Paul actually talks about renewing of the mind in Romans 12 as he's talking about transformation. And I think for Paul, maybe transformation begins with the renewal of the mind. Because if you can't begin to see as God sees, if you can't really begin to see like Jesus sees, then it's going to be hard to do anything differently. This is not how we see things, though. I mean, we can all read our scriptures and we can see beautiful things, and we can read things like, you know, even like, you know, think the love chapter, you know, love is kind, love is not envious, love is not boastful. We can read texts about praying for our enemy and feeding those who persecute us and loving those who hate us. I mean, we can read all of those things. We can hear about turning the other cheek and all of those things come out of the scripture that we claim to truly love and follow. And yet, those messages sometimes seem foreign to us. They are so different than what we hear on a daily basis, minute by minute basis, sometimes second by second basis. We live in a mindset in a world that teaches us if somebody hurts you, you hurt them back worse. If somebody says something bad about you, you say something worse. I'll love you as long as you love me back. I'll take care of you as long as you take care of me. It's all transactional.
Come on.
We live in a mindset of transaction. I give, I get. You give, you get. And what happens is we begin to believe that lie. And so we treat people as transactions. We treat people as contracts. And when we do that, we begin to treat people like objects. Not potential brothers and sisters, but as objects. That's a scary mindset. I don't look at you as my potential sister in Christ. I look at you for what I can get from you. What can you do for me? Now, I know I'm going to have to give a little to get, but it's a transaction. It's no different than a car deal. I want my side to make the most money, and I want to pay the less money. So let's kind of meet in the middle somewhere, right? That's how we view things. That mindset is not the mindset that we're given in Scripture, but it is the mindset that we are taught, and it's the mindset that most of us live with. So when we hear Paul say in 1 Thessalonians, feed your enemy, give a drink to your enemy who is thirsty, and when you do so, you'll heap hot coals on their head, because we shouldn't repay evil for evil. Huh? Of course we should, right? No. And so renewal is changing our mind, not just so that we can get our way. It's so that we begin to follow God's way. We begin to understand and see things like Jesus sees them. To see people like Jesus sees them. Jesus doesn't just look at you and go, okay, that's Monica. What can I get from Monica? I'll give her something, but she's got to give something back. Now, Jesus looks at you and says, you're my daughter. I love you. I gave my life for you. Unconditional. Even if you never come back to me, even if you never say yes to me or thank you, Jesus does it anyway. That is foreign to us. But that's renewal. Because if we can get there, we can be more faithful, more loving, and more Christ-like. That's not easy. It's not fast. It doesn't happen overnight, but it can happen. And so I think, I really do believe that that's where Paul comes in, talking about transformation as the renewal of the mind. I want to read for you real quick at the end of this section, the verse that if you're watching on the iPad, it's the one I think they list, 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to read that to you real quickly. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, and I think he also means mind in there, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is your mind ready to be thoroughly sanctified? That's the first step in renewal. Is your mind focused on everything else? Or is your mind focused on seeing how Jesus sees? Now, when we come back after break, we're going to pick up this same conversation, but we're going to move it to the body. What does it mean to have a sanctified body? Because let me assure you, we mistreat our bodies every day. And then what does it mean to have a renewed soul? Spirit. Okay? So that's what we'll do when we come back from the break.